Hey, welcome back, friends, to the Amber May Show. So glad you were here joining me today because I have an interesting story for you. Okay, so I am interviewing Zachary King. He grew up in a Christian family, and then he got really involved and he loved magic so much that he ended up finding himself in a satanic coven. And then he literally had a come to Jesus moment at his job. So we're going to be talking to him. It's going to be probably a part one, two, probably three or four. I don't know how long it will go, but we're definitely not covering it all in today's episode. So make sure you tune in again for the continuation of the story of Zachary King. So do that. And please like, share, and subscribe. Please do that. Like, share, and subscribe. If you believe in what I'm doing, please consider becoming an angel investor. And the easiest way to do that is by going to the website at theambermayshow.com. Click the donate button and donate whatever you think you could donate for the program. Or you can go to theambermayshow.locals.com and become a $5 monthly subscriber. That would be so fantastic. We carry on more conversation on Telegram, so join us at Telegram at The Amber May Show. You can find me at True Social Amber May, Frank Social Amber May, and I also join Clout Hub. So you can find me there as well. So coming up next is Zachary King. Welcome back to the show. Like I told you, we have Zachary King joining us. He has an interesting story. I've told you in the intro. And so I just want to welcome Zachary to the program. Thanks so much for coming on our show.
Thanks for having me.
Wow. I've never been able to talk to someone who's had the life you've lived. And so, you know, I've always grown up in a Christian home, and I know you started out in a Christian home and then your life progressed and, you know, you end up joining a satanic coven. And so to me, this is very new information. Like I don't know what that's like, what's being on that side of the tracks is like. And so I'm really, really interested in your story because you come all the way back around back to your Christian roots, which I think is fantastic. And you can give all of us people, all of us in betweeners, people that haven't lived that side of the tracks before, insight into what really happens. And, you know, get some insight on it, because we know right now we're in a spiritual battle. Everyone talks about it. I know God told me that a long time ago, about 11 years ago. He told me the Prince of Persia is over your nation. And I knew when he said that, that means there's going to come to an end to the reign of the Prince of Persia. And that's a reference to Daniel chapter 10. So I know you grew up in a Christian home. How did you go from that to joining a satanic coven?
Well, we got to go back to me being 10 years old, and me being, magic was the most fascinating thing in the world to me, you know, and this was pre Harry Potter. But you know, this was Doug Henning, David Copperfield, mm-hmm. You know, sleight of hand, illusion, right. But also magic in movies, and magic always worked in movies. And, you know, I mean, I saw The Exorcist and Rosemary's Baby. Except to me, the creepy movies weren't creepy. You know, it was just like, well, what's wrong with doing that? Why are people freaked out by this stuff? You know, I mean, if this stuff was real, like the girl, Linda Blair, levitated. You know, in The Exorcist, she levitated off the bed.
Right.
Why is that a scary thing? Superman levitates. Superman can fly. We don't think that's creepy. So why is it creepy when one person does it, but not when another person does it? You know, what's the difference? You know, and I asked my Baptist preacher and my parents, was magic real? Is magic something you can really do? Not like, can I wave a wand on a stage and make a rabbit come out of a hat? Because mm-hmm. that's a trick. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do a trick. I want to do real magic. And unfortunately, my Baptist preacher and my parents did not read the 33 verses in the Bible that tell you not to do magical things, because they both said that magic was fake. You can't do it. Magic's impossible to do. Well, if magic was really impossible to do, God wouldn't tell you not to do it. Like, if you couldn't lie, thou shalt not lie wouldn't be in the Ten Commandments. If you couldn't kill somebody, thou shalt not kill wouldn't be in there either. So if magic, I had some guy, this was last year, I had a guy offer me $10,000 if I could prove magic works.
Whoa. I said,
okay, not a problem. I can prove it right now. And he was expecting to see a magic trick.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I gave him a bunch of verses in the Bible to look up. And all of them are God telling you not to do these things. And he's like, how does that prove it's real? I said, why would God tell you to do not to do something if you couldn't do it? If it was impossible to do it, why would he give you a warning? That proves magic is real. Now, I truly think that proves magic is works and is real, but I still didn't get the $10,000. You know, I didn't prove it the way he wanted. He wanted to see me make something or make something appear or disappear. You know, and it's like, I can't do that. Doing magic is a violation of the first commandment. You know, thou shalt have no gods before me. I'm not trying to be killed by God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I decided I would take over God's job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's funny you say when you were 10, like, and you knew these verses are in the Bible. I did grow up in a home where I knew, like, you don't go to, like, fortune tellers and you don't deal with those kind of things because that opens up doors to satanic attack. Because I was 8 years old at a friend's birthday party and a lady, my friend's uncle's girlfriend, she came into our room where we were all at the sleepover. And she's like, hey, do you guys want me to tell you your fortune? I can read people's futures through a deck of cards. Now, they weren't a tarot cards. She said, I can use any type of cards. And all of a sudden, I saw this dark shadow come into the room and hover my friends. I was on fire and I couldn't breathe. And I did not participate in that because I knew from my parents' background not to participate in all that stuff. And I left the room and I said, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. And the Lord gave me the words to say to cast that demon, devil, whatever, out of the room. And I go back into the room and I'm not on fire. I can breathe. I start talking about Jesus and that lady could not stand me. And she fled the room. You smile.
My parents just told me to not ever go to those things, but they didn't say anything about opening doors, nothing about demons, nothing about Satan. They didn't make it out to be something evil to go to.
Mm.
They just said you shouldn't go. You know, when your parents say you shouldn't go, bam, you know, that's like, yeah, make a note to self.
Uh-huh.
Want to go to a tarot reading one day. Want to go to a psychic. You know, any place my dad ever said not to go to, got to make a note that I want to go there.
Yes.
There was a movie that came out in the 70s called The Go-Go Dancer. Mm-hmm. And it starred Raquel Welch. And I remember me and my brother saw it. We were just looking for stuff to watch. Anything. We didn't care what it was. I mean, this was back in the 70s. TVs during the day had three channels to watch, mm-hmm. You know, and, you know, two of them had soap operas all day long. And we're just looking for, just give us anything. It's right. During the summer, you know, I'm like 8 years old. I just want to watch something. And there was this movie on starring Raquel Welch, and it said The Go-Go Dancer. But it doesn't tell us anything about it. There's nothing about The Go-Go Dancer, just the name of it. So I went up and I asked my dad. Now, remember, I'm 8 years old. I said, Dad, what's a go-go dancer? It's something you don't want to be. So I had to watch the movie to figure out what that was.
Gotcha.
Why couldn't he just tell me what it was?
Right.
He'd have told me, I wouldn't have been interested in that. I was 8 years old.
Right.
I wouldn't have watched a girl stripping on stage.
Right.
But he couldn't tell me that. So I had to watch it to find out for myself.
So at 10 years old, you got interested in magic. And how did that lead to you joining a satanic coven?
It doesn't sound like a very, like, how did this thing make you leap to that?
Yeah.
but it wasn't a leap. It was just a step. I had set about to find out if magic was real by doing a magic spell. I thought if I could prove that magic works, then one, I know something that adults don't know, because they don't know everything, you know, and if I knew something that they didn't know, that's power. Mm-hmm. I've got power to do something that they don't think is real. Mm-hmm. That means I can do it every day and they'd never know. You know, if I'm getting what I want, sign me up. So, you know, the most important things in the world to me at this time is candy bars, which are 15 to 20 cents, comic books, which are also 15 to 20 cents, or penny candy, which now, penny candy, now is like 50 cents a piece. When I used to buy my candy, it was 1 cent to get that.
Wow.
A dollar, you could get 100 of them.
Wow.
Now for a dollar, you can have two. You know, and make it even worse, when my dad was a kid, that piece of candy that I could get for a penny, my dad could get 10 of those for a penny.
Whoa.
So for a dollar, he could have gotten 1,000 pieces of candy.
Wow.
Which is insane. So anyway, I set about to do a magic spell, and I figured I'd do it for money. In my mind, you know, I find some cash, somebody loses some cash. No harm, no foul, no big deal. So I did a spell for money, and I found a can of tennis balls with a $5 bill in it. Now, that's not a whole lot of money. This is 1976. The value of money back then is about 7 times what it is now.
Yes. Well, I remember being a kid in the 80s, that $5 was a lot of money. I mean, that's huge.
Would be worth about $35 now.
Let me ask you, where did you come up with this magic spell? How did you find this magic spell for money?
D&D. I played Dungeons and Dragons every weekend campaigns.
Wow.
We did magic spells for money, because you need jewelry and gold to be able to finance your campaign.
So would you say Dungeons and Dragons is a gateway to the satanic world?
For me, it was. For some people, it's not. If you play it now, if you want your magic spell to work, you roll a 20-sided die, and if you score 15 or higher, the higher you score, the more of your magic spell comes true. When I did it, the original gaming books had real magic spells in them. The makers of D&D, it was Gary Gygax and some other guy with a less cool name than Gary Gygax, so we don't remember his name. They wrote the book. They went to Satanists and said, we want real spells in our game to make the game authentic, make it more fun. So Satanists gave them spells, real spells to do. So there were real death spells in it.
Whoa.
And there were spells for conjuring light and for getting money. And I mean, you had to have the original TSR gaming books, but you would have this. So my friends had the real book, you know, the original books, and they had the spells in them. So I did just copy down the spells in that and did it. Let's see what happens. And so I found the $5 bill. And then the next week I did the spell again, because, you know, I thought, somebody had to find that can of tennis balls. Mm-hmm. It just happened to be me.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what happens. So I did the spell again. And the next week I found a $10 bill on the side of the road. Whoa. So again, it'd be like finding 70 bucks now. I'd be happy with 70 bucks right now.
Right.
You know, so that was pretty cool. And I thought, you know, I can nickel and dime my way up to being a millionaire. But this still could have been a coincidence. I mean, it was just on the side of the road. Somebody would come along and see that. It just happened to be me.
You know, when I hear you say that, you know what comes to mind? The story of Gideon, when God called Gideon to be a mighty warrior and he didn't believe him. And he had to ask God 3 times to do this thing with the fleece and the dew and the what, you know, that's what's coming to mind as you're telling the story. You're like the Gideon, like, no, God really did not call me to be a warrior for God. Okay, God, if you did, and he did it 3 times, what it sounds like to me, it's like the reverse, but you're doing it in the evil way where God was doing it for good. Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break. So many of us think that sleep is a luxury. Sleep is not a luxury. Sleep is a necessity. It's going to help you restore all your bodily functions, help your body recover, recoup. It's something that we need to function on a daily basis. We need to feel restful. And if you're not feeling restful because you're not getting a proper night's sleep, then I have something just for you. I just absolutely adore Dr. Stella. She comes out with some great supplements. And here's one of the newest ones she came out with, and it's Kobe Sleeps. So if you have trouble going to sleep at night and you want a more restful night's sleep, go to drstellamd.com, go to her supplement section and purchase this and use promo code AmberMay, one word, and you'll save some money there. Not only does it help promote a more restful night's sleep, it helps with stress and joint function. So if you have stress, you have joint function, you're also not getting a good restful night's sleep, you need to go to drstellamd.com, get these Kobe Sleep Bites right now, and save money by using promo code AmberMay.
I'm Clay Clark. I'm a very pale male, and you're listening to the Amber May Show. Hey!
In the early 1900s, like in 1920s, 30s, you with $20, you used to be able to buy an entire men's suit. You could get the handkerchief, the tie, the vest, the jacket, the pants, the belt, everything. And you could also buy that with a piece of gold. Now, in today's standards, you can't buy much with $20. Maybe a tie, maybe that's it. You could not even come close to an entire men's suit with a $20 bill. However, if you still had a piece of gold, you could still buy an entire men's suit with that piece of gold. See, silver and gold have intrinsic value, and it's had intrinsic value since the beginning of time. It's always been a currency around since the existence of man, gold and silver. So why not protect your investments and protect your earning power by owning some gold and silver? And the easiest way to do that is contacting Jim Tewell at EPSWealthManagement.com. That's Edward Paul Sam, WealthManagement.com, EPSWealthManagement.com. Give him a call and let him know you'd like them to have some tangible assets in your portfolio. You'd like to have some gold and silver, and he can help you do that. So if you're ready to protect yourself and protect your investments, then go ahead and give Jim Tewell a call, whom you've seen on our program at EPSWealthManagement.com. Let him know Amber May sent you.
You are listening to the Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
So then the next time, and see, I was also, when I was at school, I was playing I Hate You, Bloody Mary. And also known as the Bloody Mary game.
Yes.
You go in the room and you turn out the lights.
Yep.
In the fifth grade, on the first day of the fifth grade, this kid said, meet me in the bathroom at the first break. We don't have the internet back then. We don't have, you can't look this game up somewhere. And, you know, little naive kid, you know, meet me in the bathroom first break. Okay. I'm dumb. My dad's never told me about bad touch or anything like that. So I walk in the bathroom. There's 49 other kids already there, girls and boys in the same bathroom. And they say, we're going to turn the lights out and chant a phrase into the mirror. And if you do it right, the spirit of a burn victim will show up. Okay, let's try that. No one believed that was going to work. We didn't know what was going to happen, but I'm thinking the spirit of a burn victim, where's that going to come from? So we turn out the light, chant the phrase. All of a sudden, the mirror lights up and the spirit of a burn victim's in the mirror. And 49 kids bolted for the door.
But not you.
Not me. I like to say in my talks that one idiot, I can call him an idiot because it was me, stayed in the bathroom thinking, this is the coolest thing in the world. I chanted this phrase. I made this face appear. I did this.
You know, now, Zachary, I have to say, I played that game in second grade. I didn't know any better. My friend actually was the one. Hey, she's like, Amber, come into my bathroom. I want to, if we shout, if we turn the lights and we say this, this thing will appear. Well, halfway through, I was too afraid. I didn't want it. I didn't want anything to appear. I'm like, why am I in this bathroom in the dark? You know, like, I'm freaking out. I'm like, please don't appear. Please don't appear. So thank God I didn't see it, but I never played that again because after like she started chanting it, I'm like, oh, please, I don't want to see anything. But so I was like the other 49 kids. I'm like running. I didn't want to see anything. Praise God I didn't. But that was a game elementary kids play even when I was going to school.
So well, I did a talk in 2000, 16 in New Zealand, and I did a tour. I was there for 18 days. And one of the talks I did was at a high school, Catholic high school. And the teachers had told me beforehand, they didn't think I should tell them about the Bloody Mary game because I'll scare them and they won't know anything about it. And I said, you need to pray to the Holy Spirit and ask the Holy Spirit, tell him what you want. I said, because that's who directs my talk.
That's right.
So if you talk to him and he listens to you, praise God. And if he doesn't listen to you, then he listens to you the same as he listens to me. Not at all. So
yeah, he doesn't consort with us and say, hey, right. Zachary, about the talk today.
What do you think you should talk about today?
Yeah.
What do you think we should, what are the important topics to you? He never says that.
No.
So I did the talk and I asked, I'm in a room full of kids, it's all high schoolers. I said, I was playing the Bloody Mary game. How many kids here have heard of the Bloody Mary game? Now all the teachers are on the opposite side. And when every hand went up, you heard gasps from the teachers. And I said, how many of you have played it? And every hand went up.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked one guy, I said, where have you played it? And he goes, bathroom.
Mm-hmm. Always the bathroom.
Bathroom, boys' bathroom at this school.
Wow. So these kids have same all like you.
And they've all played it in the bathroom at school at a Catholic high school.
Wow.
So I'm just being 10 years old, you're not the sharpest tack.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the mirror world is not a world in some distant land. If the demon's in the mirror, he's standing next to you. You're seeing his reflection.
I didn't think about that. Oh my God. Oh my God. I think you're right about that.
That makes it worse.
So much worse.
You're not looking at some distant, you're not looking at Labyrinth, you know, or some distant, you know, fairy tale land. You're looking at the reflection of the demon that's standing right next to you.
Ooh, I got chills right now.
So, but I'm not smart enough to figure that out at 10 years old. I'm thinking I'm looking at some distant world. And I don't know what this is because it could be the spirit of a burn victim. He has dark skin. It's shiny. It looks like he has a melted face. I'm thinking it's the spirit of a burn victim.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he doesn't say anything. He's just, and he's snarling, but he's snarling because his face is melted.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he can't help it look that way. I applied the law of bulldogs to it. Bulldogs are ugly,
mm-hmm.
but they're friendly. They can't help it how they look. They're born that way. So maybe this thing is the spirit of a burn victim. Maybe he was a nice looking guy at one time, but now he's been in a fire and he can't help that he looks bad.
Well, isn't it interesting? They call a spirit of a burn victim. Where are the demons from? Like the pit of hell? I mean, yes, they were from heaven and they were cast out of heaven and that their home is the pit of hell. And do we know about the pit of hell? It's this, the word of God tells us it's like this fire.
Right.
Makes sense to me that a demon would look like a burn victim.
Right. So I'm continuing to play that. And, you know, I'm playing D&D. For me, D&D was the gateway drug. But, you know, for some people, it may not be. I mean, there'd be a lot of people that could play it and never do a real magic spell and never think about doing a magic spell. For me, I was consumed by magic. I wanted magic to be real. So the next time I did the spell, and what happened, what ended up happening at school is that kids got really hurt. I mean, like broken arm, broken leg hurt. So notes were sent home and I had to go to my dad in the den one night and tell him I had to read this note and sign it and I had to take it back to school. Well, most notes, my dad just looks at, he doesn't even read it. He signs his name to it and gives it back to me. He doesn't even care. This one, he read. Now, my dad had been a sniper in the Marines in 1950. And he reads the note and in his normal loving tone says, have you been playing this game? So being terrified of my dad as I was, I told him the absolute truth. No. Oh, man. So I wouldn't get caught at school and get in trouble. I started playing the game at home. Except that when I did it at school, it was once a day. Now that I'm doing it at home, I'm doing it when I wake up in the morning, before I go to the bathroom, after I go to the bathroom, before I brush my teeth, after I brush my teeth, after I have breakfast, after I brush my teeth again, before and after. You know, five or so, my parents aren't home. So 5 or 10 times in the morning, when I get home from school, then it's another 15 or 20 times. Every time I play it, face shows up.
Wow.
So, and I'm not thinking it's a demon this whole time. It's not occurring to me this could be a demon.
Wow.
Then eventually I think, you know, what if I did the magic spell again in the bathroom, but I did it, and then halfway into that, I say the Bloody Mary chant, and when the face appears, I let it know I'm doing a spell for money. I don't know who that person is in the mirror, but maybe that's something I can harness. I'm making it appear. So if I'm strong enough to get it to appear, maybe I can control it. Not thinking all this time that he's really controlling me.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm enticed by whatever this demon is.
Mm-hmm.
So I did my magic spell. Halfway in, I stopped. I conjured up this face. And then I finished up my magic spell. I showed it money and let it know that I was doing a magic spell for money. And that was a Friday night, same as my other spells. First time I found $5, second time 10 bucks. Went out the next day, and U.S. Sugar was based in my hometown. And U.S. Sugar at that time had a large unpaved parking lot. And that was one of my favorite places to play. And I'm playing in there, and something caught my eye, something bright and shiny. And I ran over to see what it was. There was nothing there that was bright and shiny. But I saw what looked like Monopoly money rolled up tight in rubber bands. So I shoved that in my pocket and went back to playing. Later that night, everybody's in bed asleep. And I'm in my room, and I've got the flashlight in my mouth, a sheet up over my head, and I'm unraveling my treasure. And it looked like Monopoly money, because I'd never seen a $100 bill. And when I unraveled them all, I had a $100 bill.
Whoa. That's a lot of money for a 10-year-old.
It is. And now it would be $7,000. So that's, again, I would love to find $7,000 now. So, but now I absolutely know beyond a reasonable doubt that magic is real. I know something that parents don't know. My Baptist preacher does not believe magic is real, even though he's got the answers to whether magic is real in his Bible.
Wow.
He doesn't know those answers. They're there. Yeah, you know, but at that time, I didn't know those answers were there either. I mean, as a Satanist, you read the Bible, so you know how to argue against the enemy. And I read the Bible and saw all these things about magic in there. And I thought, my parents and my Baptist preacher were idiots. Like, the answers were right here. They could have said yes, that magic was real. I mean, one of the reasons for doing it was because it was such a mystery.
Hmm.
People said it couldn't be done.
Hmm.
That's I was the worst kid in the world to say something couldn't be done, because I would set out to prove you wrong. It didn't matter what it is. I mean, like, I had a professor when I was in college, it told me it was impossible to hack the mainframe from the lab computers. So I set about to prove him wrong, and I did. That almost got me expelled.
It sounds like you're a very curious, bright boy / man, you know, and so you're going to overcome all these obstacles. If you only harness that in the right mainframe, you could have, like, who knows where you would be today.
Right. I could have been something great. Instead, I decided to join the losing team and you know, grab the ball with both hands and run with it. You know, so at And I was at age 10 finding out that magic worked. At age 11, I was the victim of a sexual assault at the hands of a female teacher who told me that it was my idea, I wanted to do it, and if I told anybody, I would get expelled from school, I would go to prison, my parents would disown me. And she was a teacher. She wasn't one of my teachers, but she was a teacher. And I thought, she must be telling me the truth. She's a teacher. So I believed everything she said.
That's so sad how adults can manipulate the minds of children like that.
So I didn't. What happened to me that day is that I came back to class. Before I left to go to the bathroom, the teacher made it a point to let me know I had plenty of time to go to the bathroom between my last class and this class. I should have gone then. And I was like, my last class before you is PE. So that's on the far side of the school. I've got 3 minutes to make it all the way over here. That's not enough time to go to the bathroom. I'd have been late. You know, so she's like, well, make sure you don't take very long. Well, I was in the bathroom for at least a half an hour. And, you know, sorry, I was getting sexually assaulted. Couldn't come back any sooner. So when I come back, she asked me if I had fun in the bathroom, which kind of, I was like, I didn't know if that meant that she knew what happened to me.
Ooh.
Or is she making a reference to me going to the bathroom?
I'm pretty sure she's probably thinking like you were just fooling around in there, just being a boy. Don't you think?
Right, but now, yeah. But at the time, I didn't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I didn't know what to say and I couldn't tell anybody. And so she makes fun of me. I still haven't been to the bathroom. And now this is my last class of the day, so I've got to go home. So I really need to go to the bathroom, but I'm scared to walk into any bathroom because I don't want it to happen again. And then for the rest of the time I was there, I never went to school in the bathroom again at school.
That teacher ever come after you again?
There's more to go about this teacher, but on my way home, I peed on myself.
Oh.
And then I got my clothes into the hamper and I don't, my mom never mentioned it. So I don't know if she ever noticed it or, you know, just didn't say anything. But, you know, I got to feeling like I started taking extremely hot baths. I mean, baths that were like so hot, I was probably doing damage to myself. I was trying to scrub myself clean. And there was a time I wanted to drink bleach, not to kill myself, but to clean myself. I just felt so dirty inside.
Can I say something there? What you're describing right now, I did an interview with a man who was transgender and he was sexually assaulted. And the description you're giving right now is the reason he went to become a man. His parents didn't know about the sexual assault because it was his step uncle, but they didn't do anything about it. And he carried that with him until adulthood. And he couldn't shake that feeling that you're describing right now. And he thought, man, well, maybe this is the answer. And he went and saw, like, he was trying to find help to get through this traumatic experience he went through. He found a physician that was like the pioneer of the transgender surgery. And when the physician told him this is going to fix your problem, he went for it. And that was the biggest lie. It did not fix his problem. But when you're describing that, that's what's coming to my mind, because of you're the second person who's told me a similar story, and you both were men and you both were sexually assaulted. I think that society doesn't often give enough credit that the sexual assault also happens to young boys. And they process it different. And I think we need to have awareness and speak to our children about this, both boy and girl. A lot of times society thinks, oh, boys, I'll never happen to them. And that's not true.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second. But right now, I'm going to take a quick break.
You're still looking good.
I'm still feeling good. You know, I've got all your MyPillow products. Mattress topper, bed sheets, MyPillows, towels, slippers, blankets, sleepwear, dog.
Whoa, Charles. Everyone now can get MyPillow products at huge discounts at MyPillow.com. That's right. Now's the time to go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to take advantage of our 3-in-1 sale. We're bringing you exciting new products, overstock specials, and closeout deals you won't find anywhere else. For example, when you buy one of our brand new MyPillow 2.0s, you get another one absolutely free. And with our overstock sale, you save 50% on our luxurious Giza Dream bed sheets. That's as low as $29.99 for the best sheets ever. And with our biggest closeout special, you get our all-season slippers for only $35. Or our sandals and slides for just $25. Quantities are limited, and once they're gone, they're gone.
Hey guys, this is Pastor Greg Locke, and you are listening to The Amber May Show.
Are you getting tired of woke companies trying to destroy our country and strip off us all of our freedoms? Big Mobile is no exception. In fact, we should be calling them Woke Mobile. Did you know that Big Mobile gives tens of millions of dollars each year to organizations that are trying to take away the very freedoms that you and I are working so hard to defend? It's time to do something about it. So here's the good news. Do you have a choice in the matter, and is there an alternative? Well, Patriot Mobile is the America's only Christian conservative wireless provider who shares your values. They offer the very best in nationwide coverage on 4G and 5G LTE networks and an exceptional 100% base customer support. So Patriot Mobile donates a portion of every dollar they earn to conservative organizations that fight for our freedoms. They support organizations like First Liberty, Turning Point USA, Susan B. Anthony List, the NRA, Folds of Honor, Students for Life of America, and many more. And this year, they're going to give more than $1.5 million to conservative causes. And with your help, they aim to double that next year. So the time is now. Our votes are no longer enough. We must stand together and support other like-minded companies and share our beliefs and values. Your cell phone is one way we can stand together against the fight of the left and help make America great again. So Patriot Mobile offers discounts for veterans and first responders, NRA members, and families with multiple lines. So if you want to learn more, go to patriotmobile.com/amber. That's patriotmobile.com/amber and use promo code AMBER at checkout.
You are listening to The Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
There was a survey done with the CDC back when Obama was president, and they found out that 100% of the gay men that took the survey, and this was around 4,000 men that took the survey, that 100% of them had been sexually assaulted or molested as children. Everybody had been sexually molested or assaulted as children, and now they're gay.
Wow.
So, I mean, there's got to be a correlation if 4,000 people took the survey and all of them, 100% of them, were molested.
Right. That would make sense to me.
So.
Did you take bleach? Did you do that?
No, I didn't do it.
Praise God.
I had heard that it could kill you. I wasn't wanting to die. I just wanted to clean myself from the inside. And, you know, I had gone, there was this kid that used to play D&D with us when I was 10. And then he just left town, I guess. He stopped showing up. And we didn't see him anymore. We didn't see him at school. And then when I was about 12 years old, he came back. And we're like, dude, you moved back to town? He was like, well, I never left town. Like, you stopped playing with us. You stopped going to school. And he said that he was homeschooled. And we didn't even know what homeschooling was, but he got homeschooled. And so he stopped hanging out with all of his friends. And that there was this place that he goes where he hangs out and he watches cool movies. And they have a 50-inch TV, a projection screen, and they eat whatever he wants, whenever he wants it. Like, they have pizza and burgers like every day, you know, and they have chips and soda and candy bars all the time. And it's really fun. They have pinball machines and video games in the building. And there's really cool movies to watch. And these guys do D&D also, and they believe magic is real. Well, I know magic is real, so I thought, I'm gonna check these guys out. So I go over there, first day we had pizza. The next day we had a barbecue. You know, and I'm like, and this is every day. And he's like, yeah, this is every day. Like, I wanted a snack. They gave me whatever candy bar I wanted. They took me to a room with like 100 different boxes of candy. Choose whatever you want. You can come in this room anytime. You don't have to ask permission. You can eat whatever candy bars you want. It's not a big deal. And I mean, I started testing that, like just walking in there 10 times in a day and taking 10 different candy bars. And everybody's always friendly every time. No one is saying, hey, you know, you're kind of eating too many of those, or, you know, you might want to watch it, or, you know, you're not buying that, so why don't you just eat one? I'm not getting any of that. My dad would have said that, you know, but these people aren't. You know, and I'm having a lot of fun. And while I'm there, you know, at my house, I could watch a G-rated movie. So we watched a lot of Disney, or a PG-rated movie if it had been vetted by my dad. But did you know that there are R-rated movies? Did you know that there are X-rated movies? Do you know that there are triple X-rated movies? There are also triple X-rated movies with kids in it my age. And if I want, I can watch those. I can look at magazines that have naked kids in it. I'm a kid myself, so, you know, I'm not thinking any big deal. I'd never seen a magazine like this. I had a magazine that had kids in it. I mean, they weren't naked, but, you know, it was a kid's magazine. So it wasn't much of a leap to see a magazine with naked kids. I mean, that one, you're looking at magazines with adults in it that are naked. And then somebody took that out of my hands and put naked kids in my hand. I was like, oh.
Wow.
I didn't know that.
And it didn't like give you the spidey senses, the creepy senses, nothing like this.
When I've done my talks before, I say that back in the day, a long time ago, when you watched a Western, the bad guy wore a black costume and the good guy wore a white costume.
Correct.
Then it later changed to the bad guy had a black hat and the good guy had a white hat.
Correct.
When the Adam West Batman show was on the air, when the Joker or the Penguin or the Catwoman was on the screen was tilted.
Oh, I didn't pay attention to that.
These guys are crooked. And then when Batman's on the screen is upright, because Batman is upright and honest and just. And so when the bad guy is on the screen, creepy music plays. You know he's nefarious. You know he's the bad guy because the music tells you he's the bad guy. When the good guy is on the screen, the upright, uplifting, all-American music plays because he's the good guy. So when I was there, none of that is happening. The screen's not tilted. The bad, nefarious music's not playing. Nobody's wearing the black versus the white hat. The lines are kind of blurred. I mean, remember at my house, my parents are the no police. Can I go see this movie on Friday? No. The Moody Blues are coming to the town on Wednesday. Can I go? No. Dad, can I? No. Dad, no. After a while, you just look at my dad. No. Mm-hmm. You know, there was nothing I could ask for. I mean, if I truly knew what was going on with my dad and I really wanted to get what I wanted to get, I should have said, Dad, I want to eat nothing but vegetables for the rest of my life. And my dad would have said no. And then I would have had everything I wanted because I didn't want vegetables. But yeah, I wasn't smart enough to figure that out. And, but here, you know, it's like, what do you want for dinner? Pizza? Okay. What kind? Pepperoni? Okay. Extra cheese? You got it. You know, I know pizza's only going to be in a half an hour, but can I have a bag of chips right now? Sure.
Wow. How did your parents go from saying no to allowing you to go to this place?
Because they knew a lot of the people that were there. A lot of those people that lived there or that did stuff there went to my church. My parents were all in favor of my church. I wanted the more church activities I wanted to do, the better. You know, we had 12 deacons. 11 of my deacons hung out at this place, and they were also Freemasons.
Ooh, we need to jump into that for a little bit. The Freemasons, the fact that you're 11 deacons that are hanging out of the Satanic Coven are going to your church. See, this blows the Christian mindset. Like I don't understand. How do you go to church and participate in, because at this time you don't know it's a Satanic Coven. You're going to find out probably down the road, but we both know right now it's a Satanic Coven. And you're telling me that 11 deacons from your church were hanging out of this, were they Satanic worship? Well, obviously if they're Freemasons, right, then they were Satanic worshipers. Isn't that the same? Like, aren't Freemasons a part of the Satanic world?
They are part of the Satanic world, but a lot of them don't know it. In your early stages, like if you don't advance past a certain point, in an early stage, you do an oath to Jesus. So you think you're in a Christian organization. And then, you know, you do so much charity work that you think you're doing good. You know, but when you get higher, you know, they make you do nonsensical oaths. Like you do an oath to this piece of paper, and you'll never do anything bad to this piece of paper, and you'll never desecrate it in any way under penalty of losing a finger. And then you'll draw something on it, turn it into an airplane, ball it into a ball, and then throw it in a fire. And then you don't lose your finger. You know, or you're going to make a sandwich, put it under a dome, put a spotlight on it, and you're going to worship this sandwich like it's a god. Then you're going to eat the sandwich. And that's under penalty of death, and you don't die. But you're going to take an oath that you'll never reveal that the sun rises in the east and sets in the west under penalty of losing your right hand. But you have to tell somebody that, because if you've got a child, he's going to ask about the sun. You're going to have to tell him that it rises in the east and sets in the west. And you do that, you don't lose your hand. What they're doing is that they make you promise thousands of oaths. But then when you break them, you don't lose a finger. You don't lose your hand. They don't poke out your eyes, and you live. And what they've done is that they've watered down the oath. So you don't think there's any big deal to making an oath. It's nothing, it's nonsense. And then eventually what they have you do is around 22nd or 23rd degree, they have you start making Luciferian oaths. Mm-hmm. But they don't mean anything, because last week you made an oath to your sandwich. The week before that, you did something to your wife's dress. The week before that, to your lawnmower. The week before that, to a piece of paper. You know, by now you've made 10,000 oaths. None of them mean anything. It's just part of a ceremony. You say it, you break it, nothing happens to you. If you make it to 33rd degree and you're a Shriner, then you curse everybody in your family from you forward. Whoa. So your aunts and uncles are protected, they're fine. Your dad and mom are protected because they're behind you. But your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, I work with exorcists all around the world. And many times when we're trying to find out the root cause of, usually it's curse. You find out that like every third daughter has an abortion, or every fourth son committed suicide. And you're trying to figure out when this happened, what started. And a lot of times you'll figure out that the grandfather or the great grandfather was a Shriner.
It's funny you say that, not haha funny, but God allowed me to meet Pastor Greg Locke, and like early in March, he invited me to his church because they were doing a movie premiere, and the movie premiere was about deliverance. The movie was all about deliverance. And then at night, after on Sunday night, so that was Saturday, the movie premiere. Sunday morning, we had normal church. And then he's been doing deliverance services every Sunday night. And I got to go see that. And he talked about curses like that, where if your family was in the Shriners, or your family was a Freemason, or your family did anything, that you could get free from those curses. So that's interesting that you're saying that, because it goes right along with where I was like back in March learning this stuff from Pastor Greg Locke. It's very fascinating.
So when I was coming to these coven meetings, but not knowing it's a coven, I mean, these guys are doing anything I want to do, I'm free to do. You know, and I saw that teacher at one of the, she was just in the living room.
Whoa.
And I went to somebody and told them that she was there, and I didn't want her to be there. I was freaked out by it. And I'm going to stop coming if she's going to be here. And she was friendly to me. She acted like nothing had ever happened.
Oh.
Like, why am I running away? What's going on? Why am I shy? You know, she doesn't remember me being this shy before. And I told them about her. And so they went and talked to her, and I never saw her again. And they said that she would never be there again. But, you know, I had told them about what happened to me, you know, and told them that, you know, I was, you know, how bad I felt afterwards. And they told me that what happened to me was horrible and that should have never happened to anybody. But they have an opportunity where I can get my power back. Another lie of the devil, because we don't have any power. You know, they said, you can appear in, you know, those magazines and movies we showed you. You can appear in those, in the magazines and in the movies, and no one can tell you no. If you want to do something with somebody, they have to say yes to you. And if somebody wants to do something with you and you don't want to, you have the power to say no. So I was in child pornography for 4.5 years, not realizing that, a few things I didn't realize. One, I didn't realize that I was being re-victimized every time. You know, in my mind, because when I first saw those magazines and those movies, I was in a room full of kids. So I was thinking that everybody looking at these movies and magazines are other kids. It never occurred to me that somewhere there was a man all alone in his house that's a pedophile, that's abusing himself most likely while he's watching this, thinking that he wishes he had a real child with him, you know, and he's wanting to abuse somebody. You know, I just thought it'd be another child looking at it. I didn't know that everybody, all the adults in these films are pedophiles, men and women. You know, there's a producer and a director, and, you know, there's the lighting and the gaff and the sound, and, you know, every position that there would be in a regular movie is in this.
Thank you for joining us today on The Amber May Show. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And if there's someone that came to mind, please share this episode with them. Please follow us on Telegram at The Amber May Show, True Social Amber May, Frank Social Amber May, or Clout Hub. I can't wait to see you next time on The Amber May Show.